Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Book 2, Argument. Christ, the Son of Man, who descended from heaven, was the Word by uttering which God created the world. He became flesh as God's firstborn, and was the Son of God. He was both human and divine. God's Spirit, moving all things, operates within us as the Holy Spirit, which is a person of the Godhead. It proceeds from the Son, not as a separate being, but as a ministering spirit. It is holy, one of three persons in the Godhead, and sanctifies us by dwelling within us. Synopsis. Number 1. Christ, the Son of Man, ascended into heaven, and we are in heaven when we believe that he is the Son of God. Number 2. Christ, the Son of Man, came down from heaven. Number 3. One who sees Christ sees the Father through him. Number 4. The Word which was in the beginning was simply the utterance which God gave when first creating the world. Number 5. Christ was thus the voice of God become flesh and entrusted with the function of speaking for God. Number 6. It was the Word originally with God, not a second being, that became flesh. Number 7. All things were made through the Word, not through a being. Number 8. It is Christ, not a being, that was first born. Number 9. And born of the flesh, as Christ and the anti-Nicene writers taught. Number 10. The expression firstborn has no reference to time, since to God all time is one. Number 11. Who uttered his begetting word at the beginning of the world, thus making him firstborn? Number 12. Jesus is proved to be the Son of God by his resurrection. Number 13. Through which he was born again, as we shall be. Number 14. Being begotten also expresses escape from perils. Number 15. The passage must be taken in both its literal and its spiritual meaning. Number 16. Christ was a prophet, though the whole of God was in him. Number 17. Christ is not merely human, but the Word of God, both human and divine. Number 18. Both man and God, though a man, yet inseparable from God. Number 19. God's Spirit animates all men and things. Number 20. Moves all things and fills the earth. Number 21. When acting within us, it is known as the Holy Spirit. Number 22. It is sometimes represented as an angel. Number 23. But not when the angel acts from without. Number 24. Holy Spirit denotes a closer personal relation than Spirit of God. Number 25. It is a person of the Godhead. Number 26. Spirit originally means a breathing, but here has a restricted meaning. Number 27. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Son, being sent by Christ. Number 28. It is not a separate metaphysical being, but a ministering spirit. Number 29. It is properly called holy. Number 30. And is distinct from Christ. Number 31. There is one Godhead in the three persons, but not in three beings. 32. The Holy Spirit is not spoken of in the Old Testament, which is concerned with outward sanctifications, whereas in the New Testament it relates to inward sanctification. The difference between the two is complete. Number 33. The Comforter was the Spirit, sent for a special purpose. Number 34. The Spirit is given by God, filling all things with divine power and dwelling in us. Book the Second, Chapter 1. No one hath ascended into heaven, but him that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Some wonder as to this. Who is this Son of Man who was then in heaven? And they do not observe that heaven is wherever Christ is. In other circumstances, they would also wonder if Christ said to them, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Nor would they believe Paul when he says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and God raised us up with Christ and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places." We are in heaven when we lay up treasures in heaven. Likewise, when it says, "He that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist," it means nothing else than that any one of those that are under the gospel is greater than one that was wholly under the law. Therefore, we too are least in the kingdom of heaven. Moreover, Christ said that he that was not far from knowledge of the gospel was not far from the kingdom of heaven. And the apostle said, "Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For this is the same as if you didst ask, who shall bring Christ down from heaven? As though he said in vain, dost thou excuse thyself from the difficulty of the thing? In vain dost thou ask for what thou hast within. For all this difficulty has been overcome through Christ. He has been brought down from above and brought back from the dead, so that heaven is now within us. Lo, heaven is here. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth. But if thou believest that Christ is the Son of God, thou hast ascended into heaven." The spiritual sense, therefore, in John chapter 3, is gathered from the literal order, and as Christ there bears witness, those words are not earthly, but heavenly. Hence we ought not to understand them, like Nicodemus, in a carnal sense. And the sense is, unless one has been born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God, that is, come to knowledge of the gospel, through which we are made heavenly, having cast off the shadow of the law of those that are earthly. And most of all is he wholly in heaven who brings heaven with himself. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand when Christ is at hand, and no one had ascended thither as yet but the Son of Man himself, who is in heaven, because he that cometh from above is above all. Christ means to say that the kingdom of the gospel, which is heavenly, was as yet known to none but himself alone, nor can it be made known save to those that believe that he is the Son of God. And note that he says that he has already ascended into heaven, for anabibikin here is in the past tense, and this cannot be understood of another heaven. Nor could the second being then be understood to have ascended. But it was right for him then to say of himself that he had already ascended into heaven, which ascent of the Son of Man you will understand in Book 4. For the present, you may say that he had already ascended to the bosom of the Father. Heaven was to him the light unapproachable in which the Father dwells, and that he ascended into heaven and is in heaven means nothing else there than that he is treating of spiritual things in the fullness of the Spirit, and thus was in heaven while he was speaking of heavenly things. And unless you understand it in this way, you will not understand why Paul said, "even to the third heaven." And with regard to this, you ought to know that for the Hebrews, nouns in the dual number have a dual meaning. Hence to them, shamayim means the two heavens beyond which they do not ascend, because they are flesh. One heaven is that of the air, as the birds of the heaven, the clouds of heaven, the waters of heaven. The second is that of the ether, the region of the stars. But the Spirit, not content with these, ascends further, though I do not mean in a local sense. And thus the spirit of Paul penetrated the third heaven, and this very one is within us. If these heavens are open to anyone, as to John and Stephen, he will see Christ where he is, will see what it means to say, God created Hashemayim, that is, the spiritual dwelling places of God, and the light unapproachable with which God covers himself as with a garment. And just what this is, I shall say below. Chapter 2. If you do not receive this heavenly teaching of the Master, tell me, why did Christ say that he was the Son of Man, who had ascended into heaven? What do you understand by Son of Man? For it is a great misuse of language to say that Son of Man is the name of a hypostasis, and that the more because this could not be proved of the hypostasis. Hence, speaking against you, he said in plain terms, the Son of Man. Nor could he have spoken more clearly, unless perchance you would have had him say, after your own fashion, this human nature, this body, this flesh is in a definite place above the expanse there on high. Again, Christ also asks you one thing, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? And you must reason, along with the Pharisees, whether you admit that it was from heaven. They thought better of heaven than you, since they dared not deny that the baptism of John was from heaven, while you deny that the Son of Man, or what you call his human nature, is from heaven. Note also Christ's argument from a sufficient enumeration of parts, from heaven or from men. As much as to say, that which is not according to man is from heaven. Hence Christ is from heaven, because the second man is from heaven, heavenly. Whatever is above flesh and blood is both from heaven and in heaven. Chapter 3. The second question is as to the meaning of the words, He that seeth me seeth the Father. If you understand how the Father was in him, and how he was in the Father to such an extent that he did nothing but those things that are the Father's, you will easily understand that in seeing the Father's glory, one sees the Father, even as one sees the Son through its radiance. For after he said, He that seeth me seeth the Father, he at once added, Believest thou not that the Father is in me, and I in the Father? And consequently, he that considers the unsearchable riches of Christ and his divinity will easily arrive at knowledge of the Father, for his very Son, Jesus Christ, is called the Word of the Father, because he declares the Father's mind and gives knowledge of it. This interpretation is confirmed by the text, No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And ye have neither heard his voice, nor seen his form, for whom he sent, him ye believe not. And if ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. He that has known the power of Holofernes easily knows how great Nebuchadnezzar was who sent him. For he that sees one sent by another and receives him, sees also him that sent him. When the Son is glorified, God is glorified in him. But neither the apostles nor the angels of heaven have seen any other glorification than the glorification of the Son of Man. In fine, to see Christ is to know that he is the Word of the Father, and to know what power is in him, and to know whence he came forth, even as he himself said, Ye both know me, and know whence I am. Only it is not possible to know these things without knowing the Father. Again, the argument is controverted, for it is impossible that the saying should be understood as referring to the metaphysical being and to seeing it. For Christ says that we are led to knowledge of the Father through him. But how is that being, which is more unknown than the Father himself, to lead us to knowledge of the Father? You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.